Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. Always feel free to get in touch with me. You can write to bruce@catholicsportsradio.net or even DM me through the @CathSportsRadio Instagram account or send a private message through the Facebook page. There are links to those social media accounts as well as Twitter on the show website, catholicsportsradio.net, where you can also sign up for free for the new weekly e-newsletter. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. With the opening of NFL training camps comes the anxiety that some rookies will have relative to getting cut or sticking with the team. For that matter, the Major League Baseball trade deadline comes up next week, and certainly there will be some players that will lose sleep over whether they might possibly be moved. Here in my area, we saw Tampa Bay Lightning defenseman Ryan McDonagh get traded early this month, which certainly is accompanied by a level of anxiety. Trades especially are really beyond an athlete's control. We too take on all kinds of stress in many situations where there's not a whole lot we can do to affect the outcome. There are probably even family members, friends, and/or coworkers who we might bring that heaviness to, when in fact we should really be solely looking up to heaven. In these times, friends, it is vital that we instead give thanks to God for what He has already given us and surrender to Him to guide us. Psalm 90 says the following in verses 12 and 14. Teach us to count our days aright, that we may gain wisdom of heart. Fill us at daybreak with your mercy, that all our days we may sing for joy. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest's story was told in a 1993 motion picture that USA Today ranked as the number one best football movie of all time, centering on his time trying to get into Notre Dame and on their football team and eventually into a game against Georgia Tech when he sacked the quarterback with less than 30 seconds to play in the game. He is a U.S. Navy Vietnam veteran and has gone on to be a motivational keynote speaker, including having spoken at the White House under two presidents. He has co-authored several books and offered his message in his original production live on Broadway. He is also the co-founder of the Rudy Foundation. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Rudy Rudiger.
Well, thank you for that, and I appreciate being on your very luxury call sheet of athletes. Appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad to have you here and appreciate you making the time. I'm looking forward to talking to you. And forgive me in advance, because as popular as it has been, even 29 years later, I can't assume that everyone hearing our conversation has seen the film Rudy. So let's start by talking about the household you grew up in, because I'm not sure that I even realized myself that those were brothers and sisters and not just a couple siblings and a lot of friends. Share how many of you kids there were growing up in your house and where you fell among all of those, meaning oldest, second oldest, youngest, whatever it was.
Seven sisters, six brothers. Now I was the third oldest in the family. My dad was very, very conservative. My mother was very positive in bringing us up. My dad was the workabee. My mother was the workabee bee, which meant she kept everybody in line through her work ethic, through how she put the home together, through how she kept us organized, and she made us pray a lot. And we got a lot of goofy thoughts as young people growing up as Catholics. You know, I remember going to Little League practice. I ate a hot dog on a Friday, and she said, "You're going to go to hell." I lived for that for a long time. I thought I was going to go to hell all these years. It's okay. That was just a goofy thought they would give you as you grew up. You know, it's like going to church on Sunday. They would kind of say to you, if you turned around, you turned the stone, you talk, the ears would fall off. All those little goofy thoughts you grow up with, you think about wow, did they really have to do that to tell us there is a God and I'm not him? You know, I could turn around at church and I could eat a hot dog on Friday. That's all right. But those are the rules you grew up with, and things change, as you know, along the way with your faith. So it's not the religion, it's your faith, being a good Catholic. It's not, it's something, it just changes, and it changes for reasons. Because, you know, when God, you know, when Jesus was on earth, he was 25-mile radius doing his preaching, and he didn't have no church, or he just had his sandals and his robe and his fishermen and his friends that he picked as disciples, and some were bad, and he turned them into good. So all that, saying all that, was an interesting life, I thought, as you grow up and get the real version of all this.
And clarify for us, I know that in the movie they show enough so that we know that your high school was Catholic, and obviously Notre Dame is too, but your schooling before high school, did you attend Catholic school before high school? And by the way, are you here to say that your parents were taking 14 kids to church on a Sunday?
16 of us in one car.
Wow.
No, that's a Plymouth Fury. And you all, because that's the only car my dad had. So it was 16 of us in one car. And he would say, we had to wear our ties and our suits or whatever my mother put out. And he would see a guy walking down the street that never went to church. He says, don't look at him. You guys would go to hell. We believe that, you know? It's just, he wanted us to stay in line. That's why my mother would say to all of us, because it's hard to keep 14 siblings in line, especially in church, especially if there's a good-looking girl in the back with the guys, you know? So she wanted to keep all that in line and give us a little fear. But we found that was just fear factors. And I don't like living in fear. I like living in empowerment. And you change along the way. And your faith changes in a good direction as well as you find out the reality of your faith.
Sure. So I think you're going to say that, yes, you did attend Catholic school prior to high school.
All the way through.
Wow.
And by the way, it was not some of the... It was good education for the ones who were smart, but the ones who had learning disorder... It was a nightmare because they did not know how to teach dyslexic kids or learning disorder kids. They just punished you like you were bad kids and like you were dummies, and I really thought that too. So I had a real bad, I call, educational period during my first grade. First grade to fourth grade was awesome because you got the dream. Fifth grade changed because you got to do homework. And all of a sudden, you're not smart if you didn't do your homework. Mm. And I'd rather play baseball than do homework. I'd rather play football than do homework. School was boring to me. And it was boring because the teachers did not inspire. They discipline, they preach. They discipline, they preach. And I say, we learn through our skills. We learn through our empowerment. We learn through inspiration. And once we have under that, you understand that education changes because now we get to know what we need to know in order to do what we need to do. Instead of learning stuff we don't need to learn, but we can learn later on as we associate ourselves with people who have learned the stuff that we didn't want to learn, and you can learn from them. That's called collaboration. I learned that in the Navy. When I went in the Navy, I graduated third of my class from the bottom in high school, so my Notre Dame dream was not possible. But it wasn't impossible now. But it was not possible with all my education behind me. So I had to fight that mindset as well. And all I had to do with, unfortunately, Catholic education. But it's changing. And that's what's good about the Catholic education. It changes now. And I think, too, what we need to change more into is our skills for our kids. They don't need four-year degrees. We need skills, and we're starting to look at that, and we have to understand that. Because when I went to Catholic high school, we did have wood shop. We did have metal shop. We did have machine shop. We had all the things that created the skills, but they took it out, and I never understood that.
Well, let's back up, because in there you mentioned that you'd rather play baseball, you'd rather play football. At least from what we know from the movie, you obviously were talking to a couple priests as you were in college. I want to start to mix faith and sports here a little bit. As much as it appeared that all you wanted was just to play for Notre Dame and run out of that tunnel and get out onto the field wearing the Fighting Irish uniform, was there ever a spiritual conversation where you were told, listen, Rudy, that's a logical dream, but sports is not going to bring you the kind of joy that God can bring you? Or are you going to tell me, you know, you would have just nodded and smiled even if a priest did tell you that?
Well, let me say this to you. When you step on the campus of Notre Dame, it is spiritual. So that in itself created a mindset of cleansing of all doubt. Mm. Now, there are people, there are priests, and there are good priests, and there are some doubters. And some of those doubters will tell you, this is crazy. If it wasn't for the good brothers and the good priests, I would never be at Notre Dame. But there was a couple priests that I never went to ask for advice. And that's normal in everything we do.
Mm-hmm.
One priest says Notre Dame's for everyone, not for everybody. I said, well, then that means heaven's not for me.
Mm.
He didn't understand that. If you want something, you have to earn it. And, you know, Father Hesburgh said it best to me when he and I talked about the movie and why the movie, and Father Joyce too. He says, you know, Rudy, so you're a great example of earning Notre Dame, respecting Notre Dame, and we come in here for the right reasons. Because I didn't go to Notre Dame to play football. I went to Notre Dame to become part of something that meant a lot to my family. And Notre Dame football was part of that.
Wow.
And I remember as a kid, I grew up playing in the fields of acting like I was a Notre Dame player. So why not think that as you get to that next step? But the Navy created my mindset in a very positive way instead of a negative way, because in the Navy I became a leader amongst my fellowship mates, not because I was smarter than them, because I did the little things that they didn't want to do that they and the people in charge saw character and courage, and they always loved people with character. They didn't really care about how smart you were. They just cared about how much you cared about where you were, and that's leadership. And you learn a lot from other people who are smarter than you. That's collaboration. So I learned by people empowering my mindset, I learned a lot more. I became to study more because I got more confidence. And that's where the dream came back in the Navy. But reality, I couldn't go back to my high school counselor, tell him what I was doing. He would tell me, Rudy, that's not possible. Mm. I don't need to hear that.
Yeah.
I need to hear what I need to do in order to get there.
Yeah.
So that's the difference between my mindset and anything you do in life. You don't go to the people and tell you, and they say, why? You go to the people and say, here's what we need to do to get you there. And that is a winner. And that's the type of priest I hung around at Notre Dame. And they were very powerful. Father Kavanaugh, who I met at midnight when I went to Notre Dame, because I wanted it when I got my second rejection from Notre Dame, I want to know what more do I need to do to get here. In the movie, we flip-flopped it because movies are different, because you got to move on, move fast,
mm-hmm.
and move through the journey, because you can't create all the elements because it takes too long to tell the story. So you have to compromise, shorten, and flip-flop. But the spirit of the truth is still there. Father Kavanaugh was a former president of Notre Dame. He was a little older, a little senile. And I lived in St. Joseph's Hall when I was at Holy Cross, because that's where this is where the good priest comes again. Again, when I showed up at Holy Cross, the brother who sat behind that desk when my friend died, I said, no more shortcuts for me. I gave myself up to the Lord. At that moment, my whole life changed.
Mm.
That moment, I felt a cleansing, and it was a cleansing of you can do this. The doubt went away. And when I went towards Notre Dame, the spirituality came into full focus. And I mean that. I felt like this is where I belong. This is where I should be. Now I have to fight for it because there are people going to stop me from coming here. And there are people, no matter what, in your churches, in your government, in your family, the devil's there. And he comes in all different disguises.
Amen.
And he will try to stop you.
Amen.
And no matter. So we can't go to the religion. We've got to go to the faith of the faith of the Catholicism, not because too many things are changing and people get confused. But you stay, once you're Catholic, you're always a Catholic because you believe in that. You don't have to see to believe. It's your faith. And that's the difference. I've been baptized in five different religions because everybody wants me to be in their religion. Mm. So I said, baptized, that doesn't mean I'm going to change. You know? I'm not changing because you baptized me. But they go, oh, Rudy's this and Rudy's that. They all are doing it for the wrong reasons, yeah, instead of the right reasons. We all are children of God, no matter what religion you are. We're all going to go to heaven. God doesn't look at you as you're bad or good. You're like, it's like your dog. If you had a dog, you go home, he's excited to see you. You go home and see your wife, she's mad because you didn't pick up after yourself when you before you went to work, or you didn't do this. So it's always, I'd rather have my dog lick me and excited to see me. Why can't people do that, you know? But can't you treat me like a dog, like my dog does? Happy to see me, excited to see me, and we'll work everything out. But that's not possible because you're dealing with human emotions and human feelings. And that's the way religions do. They try to manipulate your mind into something that they want you to believe. You're going to discover your faith. Just like we did in the movie, we discovered our faith. There is a God and you're not him. That's one of the greatest lines in the movie we've had. And have I prayed enough? Rudy, I don't think it's prayer. There is a God and I'm not him.
Yeah.
You must do the work, dude. You must prepare yourself. God gives you this opportunity. Now prepare for it. No one's stopping you but you.
That's right.
And once I understood that, that's where the good priest came, the good ones, now, instead of the priest saying, nah, Notre Dame's not for everyone. Well, you think I went back to him or that counselor in high school and asked him if I can go? No, I stuck around the fathers who said, come on, Rudy, we could do this, you know, that type of guy. And that's what got me to Notre Dame. Academically, I had to get there first. Sure. And all I wanted to do with football was get one hit. Give me one hit in a game. That's all I wanted. One moment.
Well, I actually want to ask you about that because for the audience, you know that we never talk X's and O's on this show, but I have to ask Rudy this question. Let's talk about the big play. You go out on special teams. You're going to head back to the sidelines after the kickoff, and they tell you to stay out there. So surely there is obviously a huge, huge rush of adrenaline, but there's still the element of being undersized. So was it sheer will and determination that enabled you to register the quarterback sack, or did you maybe actually spot something you could exploit when you were lined up waiting for the ball to be snapped?
That's a great question. Let me tell you, you ready for this? I know you can handle this, right?
I'm sitting down.
Okay. When I stepped on the campus of Notre Dame, it wasn't athletics anymore. It wasn't academics no more. It was purity of you could be whatever you want to be. Thought. That was the thought I had in that football game.
Mm.
I was 6'5" in my mind.
Yeah.
I was in preparation for this moment because I practiced hard and I practiced like I was supposed to play, like I was an All-American. And whether I was short, slow, it didn't matter. In my mindset, of that spiritual feeling, I became a huge person on that football field.
Mm.
A lot of people don't understand that, but when you're connected to that spiritual side, you are that person.
Wow.
You are that guy.
Wow. Wow, that is powerful. That is powerful. And folks, clearly I can't have someone on who has spoken to groups from 200 to 20,000 and not have him share some wisdom about perseverance, as we saw his character demonstrate as a young student athlete in the movie. But I do have to also share a similar desire that I have, which is to move more people closer to Christ through this ministry. There are probably people out there who say, how or why does Bruce keep doing that Catholic sports radio show week after week, month after month, year after year, more than 180 episodes now, being that he always says he doesn't get any income from it and he doesn't have any sponsors, and so he has to find a way to come up with the money out of his own pocket to try to keep up with all the expenses he faces. Why doesn't Bruce just stop doing the show then? If the bills that he has for doing that are such a challenge for him, he should just quit. No one's making him do it. And folks, believe me, there is someone who would love if I would stop doing the show, and that is Satan. Jesus has already won the victory over death for us, and we don't want to repay that by giving the evil one a victory. So yes, I do struggle with these bills for Catholic Sports Radio, but I firmly believe that God called me to this, and so I'm working for Him to move people closer in their faith life through this ministry. You have heard me on past episodes thank guests and listeners alike who have contributed to Catholic Sports Radio, and so I simply pose to you, if you find value in all that I'm doing through this ministry, if you feel you're getting something out of the work that I'm doing through Catholic Sports Radio, if it's helping you in your faith life, if you believe in these efforts to impact people through the mix of faith and sports, I would kindly ask you to help me out. As part of your tithing, do please prayerfully consider a financial contribution. You can use the blue Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net. It's fast, it's safe, it's secure, and you type in whatever amount you're comfortable with. There's no drop-down menu of suggested amounts to choose from. Or if you're not comfortable with an electronic payment, just send me an email via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will write you back with details on sending me a check through the mail. As you've heard me done in the past, I will happily say on the air the name of anyone who contributes, regardless of the amount, or as some folks have asked me to do, you can instead choose to remain anonymous. I'm truly grateful to everyone who listens, and I appreciate whatever you can do to help me continue working to move more people closer to Christ through this ministry. Rudy, I'm sure you never could have imagined that what you lived out would become such an inspirational story for so many people for years and years to come. As I went into that break, I mentioned that you have spoken to audiences from 200 people to 20,000 people. So how much do you mix faith into your talks? And also, are there ever times when instead of standing on a stage, you're simply sitting one-on-one with a student and ministering to a young person who really needs some kind of inspiration?
Great question. Again, faith is always in my speech. God's always in my speech, but I do it in a way like the movie does. Let them discover it. Hmm. Let them discover why faith is important. It's instead of preaching in their face or pushing it in their face. I want them to discover, because, you know, God, you know, we have the ability to be whatever we want to be. It's the people who doubt. It's the media who gives you doubt. It's your schools who give you doubt. It's your government gives you doubt. It's your churches who give you doubt. There's people in there, no matter, but you have to understand, if you are absolutely, when I give a speech, I never prepare for what I'm going to say. I let go and let God, and it comes out the way it should come out, and it comes out the way it must come out. Yes, there is a message the company want me to give to their company, but I understand that, so that's always in my mind where I need to go with this message, but it's always into the mix of my faith and my journey and why it's important. And you mix that in a way, it's like a movie. I'm giving them a movie story in my speech, because I put the movie Rudy together. I went out to Hollywood, put it together, put the team together. Mm. And the guy who wrote the movie hated Notre Dame, and he was very, I don't think he believed in God until he went to the set of Notre Dame and felt, now this is what's interesting. Because remember, he wrote the movie now. It was a God loop for him. It was a spiritual moment for him.
Wow.
He felt it too.
Wow.
So,
wow.
But that's what's fascinating. I like the journey of the movie better than going and playing football, because that was more challenging. It was more of a, do you really believe? I have critics today that will call me a poser, or call me, you didn't do anything. Those are the Satans. Those are the ones who have no faith. They're just after chasing money or chasing fame or chasing glory. We chase the glory of all warriors of Jesus Christ. Once we understand that, we become different people, and we end up, we don't get mad at those people. We end up engaging in love in a different way. I understand what you're saying, and you find out that they turn because you inspire them. That's what happened to the movie. Same thing. I had so many people at Notre Dame that did not like me because I was a pain in their butt. But those are the people who at the same time needed Rudy, who needed to know, you're not Notre Dame. Everybody is Notre Dame. Everybody is believers in Jesus, not just you, dude. You know.
Yeah.
So everybody who comes at you and tells you you can't, that's another example why I say the movie Rudy is so powerful, because it eliminates that thought and puts the good thoughts in your head. I can do this. I can have my one moment. I can have my one little moment. It's not your age, and it surely isn't your intelligence. It's your heart and the work you need to do in order to get there. I don't think anybody's stupid. It's, you know, when I went to the junior college, I found all you had to do was do the work and get help. And the Navy taught you that. But in school, you couldn't get help because you were stupid if you asked for help. That's what they made you feel like.
Wow. Well, let's talk about the Rudy Foundation.
Yeah. That feeling, today, self-esteem is so important for our children and for our youth. That's why the Rudy Foundation is so important, because we tackle that issue up front. We build self-esteem. That's what we want to do. We want you to believe in yourself. Always believe. And you could be anybody you want to be. We start in the middle schools. We set a criteria, and they follow that criteria. We have a book we give them called Rudy's Lessons for Young Champions. They read that book, and they learn through animation. They learn through little animals. That's why I'm saying people connect to things that love them back. And that's what's important.
Wow.
And so that's what the Rudy Foundation does, and it's very important, because I learned all those lessons as I grew up. I said, how can I help? I can't help the guy that's my age. He's out of the barn already. He's an Arabian horse. He's out of here, you know? And I'm really upset with our educational system today. And I'm in with people who understand what I understand. We're developing better, what we call charter schools, that are given everything together. It's not your religion. It's not your faith. It's developing your self-esteem. And through our faith in God, and no matter what, we accept everybody. It's just not a Catholic thing, LDS thing, or Baptist thing, or Methodist thing. This is not a Lutheran thing. It's an everything. You know, God loves you all. He doesn't look at you what religion you are.
That's right.
It's the faith you decide to go towards that makes you feel good. And that's what we need to do with our faith, make people feel good and powerful. We don't need to look. This is important for me. I'd rather hear stories of today, not of yesterday. I'd rather see people change today, not thousands of years ago. I can't relate to that. I can relate to what I hear and see now. And we deal with this life every day. I was at the grocery store the other day, and an angel showed up. It was a homeless person who's just got gratitude. And he just gave gratitude. I said, wow, that guy's happy. And he was happy. Mm-hmm. And he was really happy because he had the opportunity to maybe change his life or do something different because of the mistakes he made. And he just had that, and I call that, angels come in different disguises.
That's right.
Is my point.
That's right.
And you know, your mother could be your friend, could be the hotel manager, could be the mailman, could be the executive. When they show their heart, that's an angel. And they empower you through good thoughts. And that's what I'm saying. Anybody who gives you that little good thought, to me, that's an angel. And unfortunately, our athletes today, our high school athletes and our middle school athletes, are being conformed to material things, money, fame, and glory. We're, you know, football to me was not glory. It was being part of something great. It was being part of something that meant something. And that meant a lot to me. That's a lot of my friends, a lot of my players never understood that. Why are you out here? I was 25 years old when I walked on, because I was a Navy veteran. It's because this is what I want. This, I just don't want to be a starter. Because I know I didn't have the skill or the talent to start, but I can contribute to you. So let me contribute. And you can't say that to them. You just go to work. like I went to work with my lunch bucket, pack my lunch and go to work and do your job.
Yeah,
that was it.
Yeah.
I was a blue collar guy. I'm doing my job, dude. So yeah, leave me alone. But you can't say that to him either, because he won't understand that. You just keep doing your job, then you'll earn the respect of certain players. You're not going to get everyone to like you, like in life. Not everybody likes you. When I give a speech, not everybody likes what I say. But I'm not out there for them anyhow. I'm out there for the ones who want to hear, who want to listen, who want to change. And once you don't want to change, go get some more lessons in life. And you'll remember what I said, and that will change you down the line. That's happened to me many times.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Rudy, I did not like what you said, but I understood now what you said, and I'm glad I heard what you said. You know, that came to me many times after.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, and the audience, you know that several times I've said on this show that there's going to be something that I say or something that the guest says that I don't know who the Lord has intended to hear that message, but the Holy Spirit is moving in these conversations.
Right.
And I may never know, but someone in the audience is going to hear something on this show that's going to change them. And that's what we're working for, is to bring more people closer in their faith through the mix of faith and sports.
Absolutely.
Rudy, back on episode 138 of this show, my guest was the legendary Lou Holtz, and I asked him about having received the Presidential Medal of Freedom in the Oval Office.
Right.
I know that nothing will top the story that became the motion picture, but does speaking at the White House under two different presidents rank pretty high up there for you?
Let me say this to you. I'm not impressed by a president. I'm impressed by the character of a president.
Wow.
When there's character, because, you know, it's like being a football coach. I'm not impressed by the football coach at Notre Dame. I'm never impressed with the fact that you're the football coach. What's your character?
Mm-hmm.
What do you stand for?
Yeah, I like
what
that.
What are you developing?
I like that.
Why are you here? And that, to me, I have spoken at the White House. I've been bowling at the White House. And there's some great people there. And I connect to them. Justice Thomas, huge. I love him. He's awesome. You know?
Yeah, but it's not because of their title, in other words.
It's not because of their title. It's his heart. You know, Charles Dutton came on set, who played the janitor, and says to me, Rudy, I changed my life, my heart, in prison. When I was in prison for 10 years, the reason why I'm taking this position in your movie as a janitor, he said it in his own words, he says, I wanted to tell my people, it's not your race, it's not your color, it's your attitude.
Mm.
Change your attitude.
Wow.
And that told me a lot about his character.
And how. And folks, I've mentioned a few times now about Rudy being an active speaker. On the show page for this episode at CatholicSportsRadio.net, I will put a link to Rudy's website if that is something that you or your organization are interested in looking into. Rudy, at the start of this conversation, you told us that you were one of 14 kids in the family. So as we wrap up, let's have you share with the audience about your own children. And then also, if I could ask you to also maybe leave us with some encouraging words, since we are living in a time when, just like when you were trying to overcome huge obstacles with Notre Dame, we too are all facing some very overwhelming challenges. But start with your own children first, please.
I love to talk about them, but I never talk about them because I don't want people to know them.
Just how many you have, and you know.
Two. I got two. They're great kids. And they're all, one graduated from the Boston Conservatory, and one's a hockey player at Arizona State University. And they're just great kids, wonderful kids, well-grounded. Their mother did a great job with them. Hopefully I had something to do with that. But, man, they are grounded kids.
Both boys or one boy and one girl?
A girl and a boy.
Okay. So then I'll let you transition then, if you can maybe just leave us with some encouraging words, since you are an inspirational speaker and these are very challenging times that we're all facing.
Yeah, I mean, these times, I mean, we go back to how my parents were challenged when they grew up. So everything's reciprocal. I mean, everything, and we have to have that positive look. Live in your moment. Do what's right in the moment. Don't worry about what's happening. It's going to change. You change. Maybe you got to change your finances. Maybe you got to change your habits. But change the things that are important for you, and don't complain or whine. Just work a little harder, conserve. Just change. That's my message. I mean, look, everything's going to get tough. And it's up to you. How are you going to handle when it gets tough? Do you whine, complain? No. You look to change things. Mm. How do you change things? Through your effort, through the people you hang around. You don't change through anger. You change through love. And when you change through love, and the bad guys go away and the good guys come in. That's my simple message. But there's a lot to that. Now, and very complicated, but I don't need to get into that other than love takes over in a much higher way. Now, Kobe Bryant, the late Kobe Bryant, said it best to me. When he was a young boy at 16 years of age, his father gave him the movie Rudy. Hmm. He watched that movie over and over again. And the message he got from that movie was, I have all this talent and all this skill. All I have to do is get better each day and work hard and work hard and get better.
Wow.
My competitive spirit came across. I got more confident as I got better. Rudy, you gave me that message. Thank you for that. And that's wow. on, by the way, Kobe Bryant, USC, Rudy. You can watch that on YouTube because he says it best. Mm. I never knew I penetrated his mindset. See, that movie, like Rocky, hit me between the eyes. When Rocky blessed himself, I knew he was a man of faith.
Mm.
Because faith plays an important part. You're not asking God to win the fight. You're
That's
asking
right.
God to give you the courage and character to fight the fight.
That's right.
Whether you win or lose, you still won.
Amen. Amen. Well said. Well said. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. As I knew it would be. Rudy, God bless you. Thank you so much. I appreciate you making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. This was terrific.
Oh, you bet. You know, it's funny. You've been a great interviewer and a great understanding of my message. Because my message is simple but powerful, I think, but complicated. Anyhow, God bless you, brother.
Thank you. Thank you. Folks, as a nod to Rudy's time as an athlete, we will close this week's episode with an athlete's prayer, and we will pray it together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
I thank you, O God, for giving me a body which is fit and strong, and for making me able to use it well. In my training, help me never to shrink the discipline which I knew that I need and that I ought to accept. In my leisure and in my pleasure, help me never to allow myself any indulgence which would make me less fit than I ought to be. When I compete with others, help me, win or lose, to play fair. When I win, keep me from boasting. When I lose, keep me from making excuses. Keep me from being conceited when I succeed and from being sulky when I fail. And help me always with goodwill congratulate a better man who beat me. Help me so to live that I will always have a healthy body and a healthy mind. This I ask for your love's sake. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
And Our Lady of Victory, pray for us.
Pray for us. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at CatholicSportsRadio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.